what I was thinking, and we're going to spend a few moments together to meditate on the Word of God, and especially as this the watch, and I'm just kind of continuing some of the vibration of the glory and the presence, and that in this season we're going to make a quality decision to give quality time daily, even if it's a few moments, but to worship the living God and saying, Father, I was made to worship you and honor your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving me the born-again experience. And I want to point, because this the Lord just seemed to kind of quicken this word this week. And I'm going to point you to, in Daniel chapter 3, there are some unique characters, three, who are taken captive and they were outside of Israel. There were Jews. Their name was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it's under the emperor Nebuchadnezzar. And then it says in Daniel chapter 3, it says, verse 12, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve our gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. So, but by the way, this is like, it's a quickening. During this hour that there are certain images that are being pulled down in certain areas of the United States and even in Europe, there are controversies being raised. And so Nebuchadnezzar says, you're going to serve and you're going to worship the images that I point out. And then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, verse 13, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you're ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? So it's a question of worship, who you're going to worship. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up.
Wow.
Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." And so one of the titles of Jesus Christ is the fourth man in the furnace. And the question here, one of the key questions is, who are you going to worship? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego challenged Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdom that was trying to dominate them and said, "We worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We worship the Lord God of Israel. No other God do we worship." And so Jesus, in the time of worship, there is the fourth man in the furnace. Wherever you are, whatever challenge you face, remember the fourth man is with you. He is Jesus, and he is with you. And he has said, "I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you." And daily, we need to make a choice, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. We are worshiping the fourth man in the furnace. It is good, it says in Psalm 92, it is good to give thanks. Tell your neighbor, it is good to give thanks.
It is good to give thanks.
That is.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And we're in such an unusual and chaotic and troubled time in America. If you're my age, you were a teenager when we saw some of these things back in the 60s and into the 70s, some of these types of things. But I just want to speak to you as a pastor and as a servant of the Lord, speak prophetically to you about this particular hour for us as believers in the world, and let's say for a moment specifically within the boundaries of this nation, that the spirit that is present in the current turmoil is another spirit. It has gone to another level. And this story about these men in Babylon in this time of this powerful and wicked, frankly, world ruler is very, very prophetic for us. It's a very clear word of strength and clarity and encouragement to us, because the current scenario is trying to rename you, believer, trying to give you a different identity than the one that has been given to you in Jesus Christ, because he has given you a new name and a new identity. And for those who overcome, we will receive, according to the book of Revelation, that we will actually receive a stone with a name written on it that Jesus will give to those who overcome. And in this story, we see at the very beginning what happens is when Nebuchadnezzar takes the best and the brightest, think about that, takes the best and the brightest into captivity and takes them into Babylon, out of Israel, out of Jerusalem, in order to serve him, he renames them. He renames all four of these men, Daniel and his three friends. Daniel's name, Hebrew name given to him, says God is the judge. He is the just one, and he is the lawmaker, the lawgiver. His name was changed to the name of the god Baal, first of all. Hananiah's name means God is gracious. God gives all grace. His name was changed to be worshiping the god Marduk, which was another. Babylonians were pantheistic. They had a number of gods, but they had a few that were considered the strong deities. And they would set up their altars and their idols and had rituals to these deities, so on and so forth. And here comes the best and the brightest of the people of God, the covenant people of God, and their names all proclaim the God of covenant, the God of Israel. Hananiah and Mishael, God is gracious. There is no one like our God. So it's making a clear delineation between who is to be worshipped. Azariah's name was also God, means God has helped us. And this really comes into play in this story where the fourth man, the God they worship, the God who named them, the God they represent, was with them in that fire. But anyway, so they were all renamed after Baal, after Marduk, and after Nebo, big deities of the Babylonians. And in this particular story, you watch this unfolding, and under that system and under those deities, there was then set up an idol. And you know what God said way early about idol worship is that every kind of curse would follow those who worship idols. So they were put under pressure by this world system to not only be re-identified as servants of other deities, other gods, but to outwardly worship and serve, to bow the knee and to submit in public demonstrations that they were serving these other gods. Now listen very carefully, saints. We are getting questions from many people. We're in many conversations with leaders concerning the solutions for the problems and the chaos. And I want to challenge you this morning, because the roots of something will determine the fruit of something. And what many Christians do not know is that there are spiritual and religious rituals combined with abject rejection of the God of the Bible in all of the traditions, the laws, the commandments. And those two powers have kissed one another in this current populist movement. And it is taking many people, including believers, captive. And when you begin to see governing rulers pulling down the kind of things that reflect on an old Judeo-Christian system, but more importantly, setting up images and slogans that specifically represent idolatrous practices and standards. Christians, right now, you are being drawn into a position, whether you're going to bow the knee to idols or you're going to go through the fire and meet Jesus in that place. And it's very important. Many people do not know and have not taken time to research the fact that the chanting in the demonstrations is specifically the offshoot of idolatrous religious practices. The founders and leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement, one of the principal founders is a literal sorceress practicing of a Nigerian religion. And part of the ritual is to chant the names of the deceased in order to draw on the power of deities. And I'm not making that language up. I'm giving you specific quotes from the practice of that religion. So having mobs of people going through the streets chanting names is actually a specific religious ritual that is calling upon deities to come and empower those chanting. additionally, the founders who have also joined with powerful political leaders are confessed and trained Marxists. Why is that a problem? Because the foundation and ethos of Marxism is specifically to undo the morals, foundations, and governing systems of anything that acknowledges the God of the Bible. And there are two particular things: to take religion out and put secular government in to children, to their brains, to their lives. And the second thing is to break up the traditional nuclear family and replace that with false things. So I want to suggest to you, you know the truth. And there is one name, the name of Jesus. The only name we bow to. Frankly, if you watch wherever this worship is ascending, and people are literally, physically, including whole city governments, are bowing to the demands of this system that is hiding behind the facade of the unrighteous death of several black persons at the hand of police. This is a blatant and powerful religious deception. And so be set free today. Wherever there may be confusion or clarity, we will not bow the knee to an idol that has been set up with a specific intention to bring destruction to a nation whose ideals were formed from the standards of this book. And this foundation is the only possible way to ultimately build a beautiful house. And we are building. We are committed to the building. So, when somebody says, say his name, there is one name, the name of Jesus. When somebody says, bow the knee, there is one. Every knee ultimately will bow. Every tongue ultimately will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. But here is the danger, that bowing and professing to any other gods and systems is idolatry, and it opens the way for cursing from the God of the Bible. So, you are the hope of a nation. You are the watchman. You are the intercessors. You are the Daniel, the Hananiah, the Mishael, the Azariahs. You are those ones that are present now. So like them, we will say we are not going to bow to false gods. We are only going to worship and serve the God of the Bible revealed in his Son, whose name is Jesus, the Anointed One. So be encouraged today. Be delivered today from every kind of oppression. And I'll make one more swipe at this. The entering in of the mantra of telling certain groups of people that you bear perpetual shame for sins of fathers or sins committed or uncommitted is an abject offense to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because everything about Jesus incarnation, his mission, his death on the cross, his ascension to the Father with his blood has been to undo that curse and break that for the human race and reverse it. But he said, terrible times, fierce times will come as the earth is moving towards his appearing. And in those days, the things you see and hear all around you will be happening. Matthew 24. And he started that discourse in all of the Gospels by saying, saints, be careful that none of these false messiahs deceive you, because they will be coming with new Gospels. So let no one deceive you. These things will happen. The fierce times are upon us. The fire is raging. We as Christians are being told, you bow to our demands, bow to our ideology, bow to our slogans, our images, or you will suffer. Well, our God is able to deliver us. And we will enter this fire knowing that he will meet us there. And in Psalm 89, in the Passion Translation, it has two beautiful phrases in speaking of these conflicts. It says that, number one, the God of covenant will not allow his people to be outwitted by the enemy. And number two, it says his wraparound presence is our protection. Amen? So look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you will not be outwitted by the enemy. And today, tomorrow, and every day, his Jesus wraparound presence, the Holy Spirit, with you and in you, will be your protection. Now, here's the thing. This is your opportunity. Do you know what happened because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's refusal to bow? The king saw it. And the next chapter, he declares in his own handwriting, his testimony of how he saw their God, the one for whom they were originally named, deliver them. And that great testimony converted his heart. And he said, from now on, everybody needs to know there is only one living God, their God. And he is to be worshiped and served. So what an exciting time we live in. We are living in the days of the words of God.
Amen. And what we have been doing today, what we were doing on Friday, but we, with intelligence, come together and worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We worship Jesus Christ. We say, Father God, be exalted. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we honor you, we bow before you. And Psalms tells us, God, the God of the Bible, is enthroned on the praises of his people. So we have been enthroning. We are in the process. It is not enough that I praised him when I was pastoring in Texas as a young pastor. Or I went and joined Derek Prince, Bonnie and I, and pastored for. And then we came. God told us, as Derek retired, come here and exalt the name of Jesus. And we started the Watch of the Lord movement. There are watches, thousands of them across the world, that bless their nation and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And God is enthroned on the praises of this people. And we activate every time we praise and we thank the Lord. When you are praying in tongues, when you join others who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and start exalting. The process of deliverance, of healing, of salvation, I mean, it goes on. So we don't remain static. It is not enough that many years ago I started praising the Lord. That's good that I did it. But even today, it says in Scripture, in the Bible, in Book of Acts 16, it says that Paul and Silas were doing their apostolic work and proclaiming the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. And there were, as part of the package of their ministry, they started praying deliverance, and they were arrested and put in prison. And it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. See the process of believers praising God, singing to Him hymns, worshiping the living God. God is activated. Amen. Once again, His power, His might is going forth. When you start praising and thanking and worshiping God, you are activating in this hour, today, and in this coming week. You are destined to bless the Lord. It says, with joy will they draw water from the wells of salvation. So daily, we are going to, by faith, draw wells from the wells of salvation, deliverance, healing, blessing. People are going to be being saved as we worship and praise. Earthquakes are activated. Prison doors supernaturally open because you are praising, you are thanking, you are worshiping the living God. And as you come together with others, it becomes even more dynamic and powerful. And it says, all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. It's not just one prisoner. It wasn't just Paul and Silas. But everybody in the prison, the chains fell off. Now that is something. That is power. When you as a believer start praying, start praising, start worshiping, start giving thanks. But it says, and the keeper of the prison awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And so people were saved and blessed. Another time, the angel of the Lord visits the prison. As the chains fall off, the prison doors are open. The Lord, the people were praying and praising the Lord, and it frees other people who were in prison. So it is important and imperative that the power of God be released in these hours, that we are called to worship, to praise. You can say, Lord, what can I do? I'm somewhat limited. I am in this or I'm in that. And your power, there is power being released every time you worship, you praise, you thank the Lord. God is performing His miracles, His signs, His wonders. And there are people who need our praise, our prayer, our thanksgiving. And it says in Revelation 4 and 5, you are worthy, Lord, to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and might. And it says in Revelation 4:11, you are worthy to receive all glory, Lord. And so, and we find in the life of Abraham, for example, that as he went to worship the Lord in the mountain and was willing to sacrifice Isaac, that God revealed himself and said, I am Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. And he provides a lamb in a thicket as the provision. And the Lord will activate miracles and provision. His names will be activated as we worship and praise the living God. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is Jehovah Tzidkenu. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner of victory. So he is activating his the more we worship, the more we give thanks, the more we praise, the more Jehovah Jireh provides for you, provides for people in the community. They need loans to be approved. Provision comes. They need their children to be delivered from false philosophies. Prodigals need to come home. And all of this is activated by our praise, our worship, our thanksgiving. It says when wise men came to worship Jesus, they bring gifts, frankincense and myrrh. And as they worshiped, the glory fell. And God was activated in that land. You find that the Lord's presence, the more we praise and give thanks, the more the presence of the Lord comes. For me, one of the prototype scriptures that really inspire me is in the life of Jehoshaphat. God, there are enemies that come, and the enemy knows that they are going to be victorious. And Jehoshaphat comes to his living God and says, Lord, you have promised that in our time of great challenge, when the enemy has come in to take possession and defeat us, that if we turn to you, praise your name, and look to you, you are going to provide rescue and deliverance. And you see in 2 Chronicles 20 that as Jehoshaphat prays, God activates who? The praisers first. And as they start praising the name of the Lord, God sends his angels to defeat every power of the enemy. The enemy has come to depossess. And even now we find the enemy powers are loosed, but do not be entranced by them. They are nothing. We are going to look at the God of Jehoshaphat,
Jesus.
The God of Peter and Paul Silas. And we're going to see earthquakes loosed. We are going to see people healed, come off of their beds of sickness and completely delivered. That this COVID virus is going to be defeated in every nation. The time is at hand for us to enthrone the living God. God is enthroned on the praises of his people. We are going to more aggressively praise God, thank God, worship his name in the midst of the enemy, and raise him up, raise his name up, and say, there's no way we're going to bow down to false gods. We, in this nation and in other nations, praise God. We have, this week we have been talking about real experiences of revival and awakening. We have done so before, and we are going to do so more than ever before. The power of God is going to sweep this land. We are going to have, whether it's the third great awakening or fourth, whatever it is, we will, really, as we praise and thank the living God and worship his name, we are going to see powerful, powerful release of the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So, just put your hand out. I'm going to pray, Lord, for all of us. I'm including myself. And all of us, be anointed. May the gracious God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, may the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego anoint you afresh to bless the name of the Lord, to enthrone the Lord, that in the time of need, like Jehoshaphat, you may come to the living God and say, God, you promised in the time of trouble, if I would come to your presence and to your name and confront you and remind you of your promise, you're going to send your angelic anointing. May angels be activated in all of your lives. May you be refreshed supernaturally. Many people have been drained, and the enemy has sent in demonic spirits sometimes to discourage you, to bless you, to divide you. May God, the God of miracles, come and give you the breakthrough. Every spirit of fear be gone. Every spirit of anxiety be gone. Every spirit of infirmity be gone. Don't believe the enemy's lies. Well, I'm now 65. I'm too old. I am such a age. I'm supposed to retire. Or I'm such a age. This thing will start coming. No. I break in Jesus' name every curse, every family line curse, every tormenting spirit. And may life come. May deliverance come. May healing come. May God use you mightily for signs and wonders and witnessing and deliverance and healing. In the name of Jesus, may you be mantled afresh to carry the name of Jesus. May you draw water from the wells of salvation with great joy and triumph and shouts of victory. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Be anointed.